Welcome. My name is Charlene Garrett, and this is the Accidental Mentor Podcast, where we believe that mentoring, while intentional, is sometimes purely accidental. This is episode 10 of a 5-hour conversation that I had with my friend Julie. This is the last episode of our season. So you'll want to go back and be sure to like, share, subscribe, and so other people can join this conversation with us. This last episode, we talked about Julie's journey to marriage and how sometimes the most important thing a mentor can do is be quiet and pray. And then we also got into how our relationship has changed over the last few years, and we kind of mentor each other. It's a great conversation. So if you missed it, you'll want to go back and listen. In this next and last episode, we wrap up our conversation, hearing more about where Julie is now to where she was. And she even gives herself some, her younger self, some advice. And she gives my younger self some advice. So you're going to listen in. Here's today's episode. If we can't ask, you know, if we just take things for face value, we never learn. The last thing I, you know, we've talked and I've asked advice of you, I think just recently even, but we've talked about job stuff. And so I think, you know, as we wrap up, which we're about to do in a second, I tell the story, so I want to see if I'm getting accurate. How many times have you now been promoted? So you got that temp job, and after a year, you got a position.
I got
you started temp, working for the company.
And then I got the position, and then I became a subject matter expert. And then I was team leader, supervisor to a different supervisor, to a different supervisor, and then now it's eight. Not all promotions, like
a few lateral moves. But all growth.
They sent
you to a leadership kind of program inside the company, right?
I did a leadership program, got to travel and learn things.
For the record, for the last couple of years, at least, you have made equivalent or more money than I have. As we've talked, I'm like, yes, then I do. my annual salary. And I'm super excited about that. Like I don't remember, you know, you said earlier, you know, you had that dual income with the disability. And I remember when they were phasing you out, and you know how the government, sometimes they don't do everything the way they say they're going to do it. But I remember you were nervous about that leaving, and we had some conversations, and it was like, okay, do you remember that time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it was scary.
It was scary, and then but it was also in that kind of in between tension place where it was terrifying, and then it was, nope, God's gonna do this. Terrifying. Nope, God's totally gonna do this. And it's that fight against the flesh to just be fearful.
Yeah.
And to succumb to that and to make choices that will align with what you believed was gonna happen. And so I remember, you know, just encouraging me that I can hear God. Not gonna just dump me off here, and you know, and that was how I built the trust that I have now. It didn't just come like, oh, it's super easy. It's way easier now that I've seen a decade of things, that's God's done. And when I look back, even now, 20 years of God and, you know, using you in my story of redemption, it's so humbling, honestly, because you don't think that, you know, and I think about what people get, you know, they're like, oh, everybody gets a chance. And I'm always like, do they? Does everybody, you know, I had Charlene who like God sent me for 10 years before you necessarily saw a continuous change. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I think that's the part that's important. If you had just taken me and be like, hey, Julie, we're going to go learn theology and church history. I remember when I was in Germany and I went, they're like, this is where Martin Luther nailed the thesis.
The 95
and I thought,
thesis.
Uh-huh. I said, Martin Luther King lived in Germany. I had no idea about no thesis. Or I'd be,
you're like, was that when he said he had a dream? Because that would have been
very poor. I had no clue. I had no idea about any kind of church history or theology. I mean, it just wasn't, and it wasn't honestly the time for me. I mean, I couldn't have, well, one, probably listened through it. I wouldn't have understood half of it. I still don't sometimes.
Julie, I mean, I don't know. This doesn't really fit, but I have to say it because I think it's funny. We talked about how we've said this before. I was an exchange student in Germany when I was 16. So the fact that you went to Germany on a school trip, it was a semester abroad.
It was, summer. Or a trip. No, it was like 5 weeks. I think it was five weeks
abroad.
Yeah.
But it was with school, right?
Yeah.
It was with university. I remember that. And so fun. So fun that there was all these little connections.
Yeah. It's like God planned it or something. Weird.
Yeah. Like he totally planned it. Yeah. I'm really proud of you. Really proud of the consistency. And you mentioned, you know, even transitioning from, you could not have imagined. So I was saying that you know, last time we talked, that I know of the salary, the last promotion that you got was, I was like, yes, that's amazing. I'm super happy. And I remember when you were afraid, I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was something like $800 a month. Like the subsistence that it was, you know, to be on disability. And I remember that it was hard the first time when you got a job, before you moved and did all the moves in the first 10 years, I remember you got a job and it was tricky because you could only make so much money. You hear this all the time. Mm-hmm. I can only make so much if I'm going to keep. And so you're always balancing and you're not sure whether it's going to work or not. There's a lot of fear, like you said. But, when that came back around this time, you were a little bit more prepared. Like you said, there was like longer periods of, okay, God can do this. I don't know. Is it going to, okay, God could do this. I don't know what's going to happen when this goes away. Yeah. And look now, like, can you believe what happened from now, from then to now?
No, it's like I said, I think I said this earlier, but it's hard to I mean, I can remember that that was my life, but it's not like it was my life. It was, like, I can tell you what happened, but it is really hard for me to feel, like, to connect with those feelings. So I just don't have them anymore. And I've built such a history now. I mean, like then I had a history of practicing anxiety, practicing responding to fear, practicing, you know, doubt, practicing not trusting God. And I was good at it. And now I've built a history of the last 10 years of trusting God and believing what he says is true, because people, no matter if they're Christians or not, they're not perfect and they're going to mess up. And if we look to people at any point to be, you know, had I just looked to you, had I never gotten past the point of Charlene can talk to God for me, if I never got past that, then to me, that wouldn't have been a healthy mentor-mentee relationship at, you know, at all, because that's not the goal. The goal is not for, like you were saying, you don't do the same things that worked for you, because it's not, the goal is not to replicate yourself and be like, oh, look what you can do exactly, you know? And it's, you know, I know there's mentor-mentee relationships in all different facets, but it's very different when you are a follower of Christ and when you have, you know, if I to really honestly mentor someone to not have anxiety that doesn't know him, I don't know how to tell you to do that. I really don't. I can't. I don't know how that would even work. But it's very different. And I found this when I was doing the encounter training. I noticed that people were starting to get, like, they get a lot of freedom right away, but then they would they'd be very attached to me. You know, they'd get excited to see me and they'd feel better when they saw me because they connected me with the experience they had of feeling some better, but there was still something missing where we didn't walk it out. Like how I didn't, you know, the first few encounters, I just, you know, it's where you felt, you're like, oh, I stayed real attached to you and not necessarily to actually being discipled. And now I'm, you know, my life is completely different. So thank you very much for stopping for this one. Don't make me cry on a podcast. I'm doing that.
Well, since you're getting all emotional, let me ask you this. Now that it's been 20 years, if you look back, you imagine when we met and you imagine yourself 20 years ago, 20 years ago, Julie, what advice would you give her? What would you tell her? The one that was struggling with her identity, financial anxiety, drugs, past, all the things.
Man, when you put it all together,
it's a lot of stuff. She had a lot going on.
It's so much going on. I think One, I would, of course, never lose the opportunity to tell her that Jesus loves her and he created her uniquely, but not uniquely flawed, that he loves her and wants relationship with her and that the word of God is true. I would definitely want her to know that. And I would still tell her, it's going to be okay. You're going to have to do some work. You're going to have to go through the process. And on the other side, it's going to be beautiful. I think sometimes we just want to tell people. I know people would encourage me and they'd be like a lot of times with Jeremiah 29:11, that verse, everybody's like, you know, there's a purpose and a plan for your life, a plan to prosper you, not to harm you, plan for hope in a future. Absolutely true. But a lot of times we all forget about Jeremiah 29:10. First time I read Jeremiah 29:10, I said, excuse me, 70 years they had to wait? 70 years. So when I look back over my 20 years, it's not that much, but I think we often want to provide people instant comfort that it's, mm-hmm. And that's why we leave Jeremiah 29:10 out often, not probably intentionally, but because it's not the encouraging one. And right. I think that's where it misses the mark sometimes because people absolutely need to be encouraged, but they also need to know truth and they need to know because God designed us. He designed us, our brains to work like this, our bodies to work like this. Like he's not surprised that my brain wired itself to anxiety. It's made to be for forgiveness. It's made for hope. And the enemy wants things a different way. And so, but he uniquely made us. And so the fact that there's a process is absolutely good.
It's good. Yeah.
Even if you call it an onion.
Even though you call it
an onion. There was something else. I feel like we had several things that we made it before.
Gave it several.
Several names, yeah.
Names. All those onion layers. Yeah.
Oh, and read your Bible. That would be the main thing. Read your Bible. Do not just take what you hear and apply it blindly. Read your Bible. Know things in context. Uh-huh. Understand the word. And yeah. Yeah. I'll probably circle back with seven more things, but those are the big ones.
Those are the big ones that you'd give her, that you'd tell her.
Yeah.
If I was giving myself advice, well, I'm curious. If you were giving me advice, what would you give the mentor, the 20-year-old mentor advice, anything?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. I don't know because even though you'll tell me your experience, it's just so different for me. That's not, not that I don't believe it, but I don't. Because I was oblivious to the struggle that you had, I didn't see it. I didn't have that piece of it. And I think the way that you did that honestly was very healthy. So don't get tired in doing good.
Don't get weary in well-doing.
Don't get that one. See, I know mostly. Sometimes I slip between translations.
Same.
Because that was the thing I think that made the difference is the fact that you were consistent and you didn't run. You didn't run. So I don't necessarily know that I've reached the point to say that I would do anything differently than you did. One day, give me 20 more years.
20 more years and give me some different advice.
I can give advice to today, Charlene. That's easy. 20 years ago, Charlene's still up there for me.
Still up there.
Yeah.
I think that some of it was just dumb luck, you know? I mean, I think that God just ignorance is bliss. Yeah. I really still want to encourage people. If I could encourage anybody, I want to say I had no idea what I was doing. I want to be very clear. I had beyond 5B, I had no backup plan.
And I had no clue. I had no clue that you didn't have honestly, I didn't think that you had a plan. I thought that you had a special connection to the Lord and that he was going to tell you, like, if he told you something I should do, then I should do it. Like, I was oblivious.
I do wish, and I don't know so much, I guess it maybe played out or didn't play out in my relationship with you, but I've definitely made a lot of mistakes in mentoring where I have told more than I've asked. Like I wish I had learned coaching skill sets a lot earlier in my life, but I think I would encourage the the lessons that I pulled out of our relationship, which have really helped, which kind of goes back to, you know, you're not my responsibility. No person is my responsibility. I am not the only Jesus that somebody's going to see. I am it's an opportunity to love on somebody mm-hmm. and to be consistent. But when we fail, ask for forgiveness, you know, be quick to listen, slow to speak. I mean, scriptures are super helpful, in general, super. Like just listen to the word, right?
But it, honestly, it does break down to that. We try to make it this, like, let me get this. I went to this conference and I had this enlightening and I did all this. But at the end of the day, the reason that I sit here the way that I am today is because of the word of God, because I read it, believed it, and apply it.
Yeah, exactly. And my part in you being here today was just walking one day at a time and encouraging that. Like, even when I think about all the miraculous things and the process things, you did all the hard work in your own life. You and Jesus. Mm-hmm. It's you and Jesus did all the hard work. I just got to be a witness at some points. I got to encourage at a few points. I got to go through my own process of prayer, you know, and getting on my own knees and my own tension or struggle between wanting to try to meet every need and not meeting the needs. Like, life is about yay ducks and yuck ducks. Have you ever heard of
wet ducks?
Yeah.
I don't know about these.
You think of a paradox. You know what paradox is, like the opposite.
Pair of ducks.
Well, it is paradox, pair of ducks. So you can think of two ducks as a paradox. There's always a yay duck and a yuck duck. We teach this to our kids in culture transitions. And it's super tangible to think about, but any moment in our lives, I mean, it's both things. It's the tension. Hard is not bad.
Yeah.
And I think that if I can do anything with the rest of my life, I really want to help people live in tension, in the tension of how beautiful, and how terrible things are at the same time. And God is good and life is hard. God is good and this body is dying. God is good and we have suffering. Yeah. There is suffering in the world and I will suffer. And so we want either or. We either lean towards one or the other. And sometimes I think God uses us in mentoring relationships with people to kind of pull them back to center if they're on one side or the other, you know, in those relationships. But anyway, if I was going to give her advice, I would say, you know, stay the course. It's not your job to correct. It's your job to remind them of who they are, which wasn't mine in the first place. God gave me that. So, and I do want to say it's funny. You say, God, you saw me as God would talk to me specifically.
Yes.
And I'm curious, you met other people during that season at Open Door, and they would probably talk similar to me. Did you believe that God just talked to everybody but you?
No, he talked to what I call the glowy face people.
The glowy face people.
Because y'all all had like a lightness about you and a peace that
surpassed
understanding, one would say. And I wanted that. I wanted that, you know, so like when Catherine, I mean, man, she looks you in the eyes, you're like, hello, maybe you don't look just directly into my soul. But also, you know, and so as I came to know more people, you know, I did think that, but then, you know, it shifted and I was one of the people, you know, and people now are like, wait, I don't understand it. You're so, like, I think most people, when they see this, if they don't know my testimony, we'll be very shocked. So sorry, y'all. Love y'all. just because they wouldn't see that. And so, it's like, you know, so Pat, the same thing, the Lindenbergers, you know, all of that, you know, those people, you know, Gary, counseled me after Lindsay passed.
That's right.
Yeah. I mean, and so it was, I'd never experienced that. Like the fact that, so I knew I was a Christian when I was younger in the sense that I, you know, said the prayer, did the dunk, had gone to church. And I went to youth camp where, you know, I felt bad about everything that I had ever done because I was so convicted that week. So I'd had experiences, but I'd never had consistency where people live their life around the teachings of Jesus, where it was like, okay, we're going to tithe first. We're going to pray about this before we worry about it. And so I'd never experienced that before. And so it was something, it seemed like, wait, I've been a Christian. I've never seen that before. So why do they have that? And I, you know, it did seem, I thought it was everybody except for me. But then again, I also wasn't living following the word, and I would, you know, show up late and sit in the back on the couch and hope nobody called on me. So I did what I could in the moment. I did what I could. But I didn't have what they had or what you had. So now I wouldn't say that that's different about you. I mean, for me, I think that
would God you also talks to me. Do you, can you identify people in your life that you have poured into? Like, can you think of, do you think of people as like, whether they've been, it's been conversations or relationships or, you know, mentor-like, you know, a mentor-like relationship? Can you think of any?
So I do, I mean, definitely poured into people through Encounter and, you know, partnering with people through that and just like friendships. I don't think, so in work, I have like more intentional mentor-mentee relationships for myself. And I mentor my team and things like that. But I don't know, it's never been something where probably I would assess like I'm that person's mentor, like the way that you do. But I definitely try to do the things that you did when I encounter people like myself. You know, love them first. So there's one lady that's a friend that I'd done that kind of I don't know if I called myself her mentor, but she's incarcerated. And so I actually haven't been able to contact her for some time now. So I need to be like, more intentional about that. But
that.
Yeah,
it makes it more difficult.
I wouldn't visit her and stuff. It makes it more difficult. Yeah.
You have to be more intentional.
They change their systems.
And they change it all the time.
Way intentional. So there is that. I mean, so I definitely, but I don't think like you said, there's things that are different about us. And I'm not as much of a pursuer, even if that's yet, I'm not as much as you are in that area, but I do it unintentionally, probably more often than not.
And I think that one of the things I want to encourage is I don't know that everybody's going to have for sure 20-year relationships with people, mentor-mentee relationships. I hope that everybody gets one on both sides. I've really enjoyed very rich mentoring relationships, and I've pursued them. I mean, I have a mentor for 20 years because I went after her. And I think you and I talked about that. Like, it's really important that the mentee is the one that is really – in many ways driving things, the need of relationship, not somebody coming and say, hi, I'm going to be your mentor today, which I think you've had that experience.
I have.
We've talked about that. Like where someone was like, I think I can mentor you. And I'm going to, like, wait a second. I don't know about
down
that.
There. Yeah.
Yeah. Just go slow
you
down.
You could
a
do that, but you I could, don't wish to.
Or we could not.
Either way.
There's,
we'll see how it works out.
Options. We'll see how that works out. Right. I ran into somebody not too long ago at Costco, and she reminded me how I knew her. And she's like, you don't remember me. She could tell my face that I recognized her, but I didn't fully remember her. And I used to work for a church, and so I was up front a lot. And so we were talking, and I was like, oh, yeah, I totally remember you. And I said, hey, I'm going to start this podcast about mentoring. And she goes, oh, you totally mentored me. And I said, oh, really? Say more. And what I realized in that moment is these relationships can look very different. Mm-hmm. It could be one conversation. It could be a series of conversations. Yeah. It could be a season of time. It can be a work mentoring relationship. I remember when I was early in UPS, there were two women that worked in a building of probably 100 of executives. There were two women that were executives. And I went to one of them and I asked her to mentor me in a professional capacity. And she said, why? I got that question a lot. And I said, because I'm assuming that you've learned some things about being an executive in a place where there's a bunch of men that I'd like to learn if I ever want to do that. I don't know that I do, but I'm curious.
Yeah.
And we met a handful of times, and she was in sales, and I'm totally not a salesperson. And so, but it was very, very interesting. And that's been the thing that I've, honestly, when I've pursued people, the first question they ask me is, why? What do I have to give you? And I'm like, I just want to know more about you. How did you get to where you are? What have you learned? How can I learn? What can I learn from you? And they're surprised. And so you, Julie, have a lot to give. And so I hope that through work and through your new church and through other situations that when someone pursues you, which will probably happen.
Oh, no, they're going to come in by the drones now. And no, I'm just kidding. Totally kidding. Totally. But I agree. No, I totally agree with you. My work mentor, who's also a believer, and she's amazing. I had seen how she operated, and I didn't, you were my mentor, and I think you probably did encourage me to get one at work. And I just went up to her, and I was like, hey, congratulations. You won. You're my new mentor.
You won.
Do you accept? And she did. So, and we've had an amazing relationship, and now she's my boss. So I think it is those, you have those, and like you said, you have the others where you just, in that moment, you share something that you know that they don't know. Or you encourage, or you challenge, and those type of things, they matter too. It's not just like, oh, doing it for the title, or, you know, because some people can get in mentor-mentee relationships and it be not healthy.
Yeah, that's right.
So,
and it's, there's a such a continuum of all of that, and so important to look at. And I, when I first became a coach, an executive coach, I was presented with a document that explained all the different types of relationships and helping relationships, from counselors to mentors to coaches, different types of coaches, supervisors at work, parents, like friends. There's all these different types of named and then unnamed, you know, I guess official and unofficial relationships. And it really can't be about you. I think that's one of the things. I love Healing of the Heart Ministries. I've done a lot of different types of that. And the thing that is significant to me when I've received ministry is that the people that are ministering to me don't have a desired outcome. I don't have to get to somewhere or some thing for them. Like, you know, they may see something, but I don't have to get there. And I saw that you could be way more, you could live a more fulfilling life than you were living 20 years ago. And the challenge is that I couldn't push you to get there. I couldn't have a desire that you didn't have for yourself more than you had it for yourself. And I think that is one of the advices that I would give to myself and to other people is really one day at a time, one mess at a time, one beautiful gift at a time, and patience, you know, listening, patience, encouragement. And we're all very different personalities. You've mentioned to me before, I have the tendency, I'm very determined and I have a lot of perseverance. Not everybody does. And that's okay. That's a different, there's just different giftings and different relationships. And so I'm just very thankful. What'd you say?
I said, I've taught you a lot.
You have taught me a
ton. So welcome. See, I could have been better a long time ago. I just wanted to help you. So actually, that was my reverse mentoring. You're welcome. That's right. I gave you a whole 10 years.
You did. You gave me a whole 10 years of experience.
Yeah, experience.
On the job experience. I didn't even know that I needed. And you totally helped me. And I'm super thankful. And I hope that we have more opportunities to talk more and learn more together.
Can you imagine we're telling this when we're 20 years away from here? When we're 40
20
years
more years?
From, 20 more years, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's going to be
pretty
cool.
We're in our 60s.
Yep, 40 years. Looking back.
Looking back 40 years. We'll come back and have another conversation in 20 years. How about 20 that?
20 years. We'll totally do that.
Maybe we'll I wonder what podcasting will look like in 20 years.
It probably won't even be a podcast. It won't be a thing. We'll have some kind of little chip or something.
You're just,
I don't even
know. Yeah, you'll just push your head and then it'll turn it on.
Everywhere.
Thank you, Julie. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for
being
here.
Your very first guest.
The very first guest And the first season, I think.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
We'll launch into what this is going to really be. So thank you. Have a
it's
wonderful.
It's going to be
awesome. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
What a great conversation this has been. I hope you've enjoyed it as much as I have. The thing that jumps out to me is the advice that I would have given my younger self, which is to ask more questions and say less. You know, Jesus said it, right? To be quick to listen, slow to speak. If I could do anything else, I would cultivate that. And that's the encouragement that I want to give you. In the vein of asking, I want to ask you, if this podcast has been impactful to you, if you've learned anything, would you tell us? Tell us more. What have you learned? What have you been encouraged by? What have you seen? What would you tell us? We want to hear more from you. You can put the comments right here in YouTube. Contact me on social media. While this is our last episode of this season, it is not the last season. So stay connected, like, subscribe, review, so you can hear when season 2 is coming out later this year. We really want to stay connected with you. Contact me through social media as much as you want. Let's keep the conversation going. And you know, if you heard an episode and you thought, this episode, you think of somebody, forward it to them. Please share it with them. Let's keep it going. And remember, he who began a good work in you will carry it out to completion. My name is Charlene Garrett, and this is The Accidental Mentor.